Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com. Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
This episode of Sewing Out Loud is brought to you by the Sew Here Box Refresh Edition. The Sew Here Box is a collection of curated sewing tools that you'll love to have in your sewing studio. We haven't done one in a while, and there are only 100 boxes available. Go to sewhere.com/go/box to order yours today. That's sewhere.com/go/box.
Welcome to Sewing Out Loud, the official podcast of ZD Sewing Studio. Here are your hosts, ZD and Mallory.
Sewing Out Loud. Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Mallory Donahue.
And I'm ZD Donahue.
And today we're just going to go through what is coming in your Sew Here box. By the time that this episode is out, I think we'll be like about a month out from when these should perhaps be arriving. Keep in mind that there's some crazy things going on with shipping things at the moment. I don't know what things will be like by the time we're shipping out the Sew Here boxes, but
we track everything.
Well,
right? Or can we not now?
I don't know.
Okay.
That's the thing is okay. When we get a low number of orders and I send out like a couple things at a time, tracking seems to work okay. But when a person takes in 50 packages, 100 packages.
So there's more likely an error.
They apparently are being instructed not to prioritize such shipments.
Oh, and really?
Those shipments, I've seen it on Instagram from several Etsy sellers who, you know, like will release a print or something.
Right.
And they're like, okay, well, when I just send out one at a time, it's no big deal. Tracking is fine. And then when I take 50 of these to the post office, they're like, well, this might not get tracked. And I have ordered I've had just varying experiences. So anyway, we're going to keep on top of it. I really have never had a package get lost in the mail.
Yeah, not yet.
If someone has gotten something, like it's been delivered. It says it's been delivered, but they can't find it or whatever. We've always found it.
Yeah, it's like
every single time.
Sometimes it's at your neighbor's house.
Yeah. Now, I know this isn't always the case, but that's what's going on. So anyway, we're going to be getting close. And packing these boxes up is always fun, isn't it, Mom?
Oh, yeah. I'm
a blast.
Thrilled. I cannot wait.
Yeah. So
can't wait.
We will have my shoulder will be tired from cutting fabric because some fabric comes in these boxes. But we are going to treat ourselves to something, Mom, as a business.
Oh, that's right.
We're going to treat ourselves to a label printer.
A new label printer.
So
we're not taking them off of the computer and cutting them down having to paste them on. And
We don't do a super high of volume, so I've always just sort of dealt with it, taped the, you know, labels on, printed it out on 8.5 by 11. But we're growing up, okay? And we're going to get a label printer because,
we're coming of age.
That's right.
In the label printing sending box.
I know that there
business.
Are people out there who are like, you're crazy that you haven't bought one of these yet. But
probably.
But that's just the way it's been.
Well, you know.
So.
I'll order things and I get a handwritten label sometimes. So,
exactly.
They're crazier than us.
So we're
equal.
We'll be labeling.
We're ahead of somebody. I don't know.
We will be in labeling heaven. It will be fabulous. And so let's get down to brass tacks. Let's talk about the fabric that we have to cut for this.
Okay. The easiest one to cut would be
the cotton organdy.
It's nice and stiff. I love it.
Okay, it's stiff. It's translucent.
That's right.
And our cutting table is wide enough
right, it's the
to
right
accommodate
width.
The whole
right.
thing.
Well, you know, and I'll talk to you about the other thing when we get
and
to it.
And it's stiff. You said
but,
stiff.
Right. Yeah, but it's very important. Yeah, and usually, in fact, those Kai scissors go right through it, too.
Well, they do.
You can rotary cut or Kai, either
they
way.
Do.
They go through it just like a rip thing, you know.
So why are we giving these people cotton organdy? Why do
because
they need
Because we
it?
Want them to use this as interfacing. It's the most wonderful thing in the whole.
That's
you know,
right.
I lately,
That's right.
I don't know how much we've mentioned this, but I use it in darning something and repairing something.
Mm-hmm.
That's my backing.
Yeah.
And this is really funny because I had a rug that I put in the washing machine.
ZD's always messing up her rugs.
Anyway, I don't know why rugs. I guess because I do stuff I'm not supposed to with them. But I put, anyway, and it was kind of coming apart.
Right.
Okay. And I thought, okay, I guess I can repair this. And I had another rug and I looked at it and I had repaired it. And it didn't even show.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like a long, like.
Long rip.
Yeah.
This is, what had happened was whatever industrial machine finished the edge of the rug, it kind of, the edging came off,
well,
right? Is
well,
that
this
what you
was
me?
Different. This
okay.
is, it was like. It was like it perforated it and made the whole piece go off, not just this.
No,
not
like
this, not the overcasting,
yes,
but right.
Yes.
And I apparently had another one that had done this. Okay, these are not real expensive rugs.
Sure.
You know, these are what I call throw rugs. I don't know what anybody else calls them. You know,
and you use them to protect your floors against your dogs. That's why you have
all
these rugs.
Well, these were actually both with my camper and hadn't even gotten that much wear, you know.
Mm.
But it was funny because I happened to turn the one over and I'm like, well, looky there. There's somebody stitching in some cotton organdy.
So you'd already done it.
Right. And it was on a different rug. But I was like, I didn't even know this. And I'm the one that is like, very acute,
right?
Seeing you know what is sewn and how it's made and mm-hmm. all this. So I didn't even notice my own stitching. So you know what I do is I put that under the hole or under the rip or under whatever I want to reinforce, and then you know stitch zigzag over it, whatever, darn over it.
Yeah, and we have done several episodes about where we mentioned cotton organdy. We did an mm-hmm. episode on cotton organdy, and people order it a lot from our online store.
Right.
And you're getting a yard in this box. And
that's quite a bit.
Yeah, for our purposes. Like
unless you want to make a garment out
like
of it.
Yeah, if you're going to make a cotton organdy, you know, something.
So we use it for repairs.
Interfacing.
Interfacings, things like that. Something that you might want to
stiffen.
So
an entire yard is going to last you quite a long time. So when we use it as interfacing, what we generally do is cut out the pattern piece out of our fashion fabric and the cotton organdy all at once.
Right.
Treating it as one layer.
So you treat it as one layer. And we just had a post
right,
about
that.
Using iron-on interfacing and all this and it getting your ironing board gluey or whatever. Well, it doesn't if you know, cut out, say, a square or a rectangle or something and make
it smaller.
Make your iron-on a little bit smaller. And then you cut your pattern piece out of it. So they're always exact. They always match. You don't have to worry about it. And that's what you should do with your cotton organdy,
too. Yeah, so we don't really enjoy using fusible interfacing a lot. Now, it happens that we may.
I'm trying to think.
I know it's hard. Well, man, I really get to avoid it a lot.
A lot of times I think when I have used it is more in something like, you know, making a bag.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Versus a garment, like interfacing a strap or a flap or
mm-hmm.
something, you know, more like that. But even then, I use iron-on interfacing.
Or you don't use iron-on
interfacing. I do. Right. I don't.
You use.
I tend to sew things in.
Yeah, sew things in. So if you do use iron-on, the perils can be that it can become unfused.
Right.
And then even if it does, even if you did sew the fusible in, okay, it can become unfused. It can detach from the seam because it's a non-woven product.
It also makes a noise sometimes. It gets crinkly and crackly.
And it can look bubbly.
And get bubbly,
if it undoes
especially,
itself.
Especially if it only partially releases and not fully releases.
So you do not pre-wash this cotton organdy when you get it in
your
box.
It's pre-treated, basically.
You just use it straight in your garment. And then if you do, it depends on, you know, on your garment. But when I've used it in collars and things for many of the shirts I've done, I just get it out of the washer and the dryer and it's fine. But if it is, if you've, you know, dried in a wrinkle or something, right, you may have to do a quick press.
It will press out.
But it'll press out and it'll be, it will, it may soften a bit over time, but it will still lend a bit more stability and body to
And if it does soften and you think it might be a little bit too soft in your garment, if you do press it, it stiffens it back up.
Yeah, it kind of stiffens it back up. Right. Okay, so cotton organdy. And then the other fabric that you're going to get is Power Shaper Net. You will be receiving the beige color on from our website.
We consider that the most neutral.
It's actually from the manufacturer. It's called Toast, and I never remember.
Right.
I'm like, I think it's the cappuccino or the names.
I honestly hardly ever use white. Like, white, like, hardly ever works for me. People, and the Toast goes well under black. It goes well under dark colors. White will just show up. If you have, like, a dark or even medium color and you have any, you know, if you can see that fabric at all, what I mean is hold it up to the light and see if you see light through it. That's what I'm calling seeing through. That white will just not work well enough.
So the beige Power Shaper Net is a, when we talk about the Toast, the beige, I should like put Toast in there somewhere so I can remember it. I'm like, give me what I ordered before. And they're like, okay. So the deal though here is, if you're worried about, like, matching your skin tone or something, that's sort of a different story. Yes, you may have to dye this or something like that. But the value of this fabric, it's a very middle-of-the-road value. So what that's going to do is add opacity. No matter your skin tone, really, or the fabric, it's a very middle-of-the-road value. So it's not going to distort that. It's
It doesn't change the color of your, you know, the fabric that you are lining it with, putting it under or whatever.
And then also, kind of like cotton organdy, when someone says they need a knit interfacing.
Right.
Okay. If you need something to beef up your knit a little bit and you still need it to stretch, this can act as a bit of an interfacing. A seam reinforcer can be used for darning knits.
In fact, the seam reinforcer was kind of a fluke, remember? Right. I can't remember if I was making a costume or whatever, and then I made a shirt and I had these little scraps
of
the power mesh left over, and I'm like, why don't I use that to stabilize the shoulder seam? And it's like, I'm in heaven. I'm so smart. Look what I did today.
I'm amazing.
Yes, I love it.
Yeah.
You know.
So you used it in the shoulder seam.
I used it in the shoulder seam. I think you could use it anywhere. In fact, I am considering, so when I get a t-shirt, like, so the aerial people say, like, order group t-shirts.
Yes, yes.
Well, of course they never fit me. I mean, they're way off.
Right.
Like if I get it to fit my bust, right,
the shoulders,
the sleeves are like, you know, 2 inches off my shoulders.
Yeah.
So I have to alter it to feel comfortable in it, you know. And I always worry about those seams pulling out because it's not a real expensive shirt, right?
Sure.
You know. And I'm thinking, boy, every time I alter those shirts, I'm going to put that in the seam now.
Run some of that in there.
Yep. Just reinforce it.
Yeah. So this is, just to be clear, this is Power Shaper Net. So it is, Power Mesh is lighter than this fabric.
Right.
Okay. And Power Mesh will come like in lots of colors, like in bright green and blue and yellow and all these things. And it's a little bit more decorative. Power Shaper Net is manufactured in order to be a little more stable and supportive and functional.
Right.
And
the color range is not as great.
Is more neutral,
It's generally not expected to be seen publicly.
That's right. And then you have like a girdle fabric, which is really stable. Okay, so some people have used that. Some people have used the Power Shaper Net for a binder, okay? And then some people have been like, no, it's not quite as stable.
The girdle stuff gives me indigestion.
It is. It's tight. If you make it and you're wanting to smooth or bind or, you know, whatever.
It's a binder.
It will do that. So keep that in mind. So that is kind of, if you've never had this before, and I've done pre-orders for it before and then shipped it out. So I did a little demo in the self-sewn wardrobe where I kind of like stretched it and showed how it bounces back so nicely. So that's the other fabric that we will be doing. Oh, you know what we didn't do? We didn't talk about the name of this box, I don't think.
Oh, I wrote it down. I thought I was going to say,
Okay, so back up. It's called the Refresh edition. So these are
refreshing.
These are some things we've included before in a box.
Right. Some of the things are included.
Sometimes we've included them.
A couple of things are new that you've never maybe seen before.
Right.
But a lot of them are repeats that people have raved about and requested again.
Yeah. So they are things that you could have used up. Okay. So like cotton organdy
right.
and PowerNet are consumable. Or something you might not mind getting duplicates of. And we're going to take a break and come back and talk about some of those items that you might be excited to have more than one of in your sewing room. ZD, are you ready for another Sew Here box?
Yeah, we haven't done one in quite a while.
Can you tell the folks at home what exactly is a Sew Here box?
A Sew Here box is a collection of useful sewing tools and exclusive swag created by the world's funniest and most knowledgeable sewing podcaster.
You mean us?
Oh, well, I'll include you, yes.
I think it's a pretty good description. This Sew Here box is the refresh edition. It includes some old standby favorites that you might have used up or that you wouldn't mind having duplicates of. Or if you're new to the Sew Here box, you might not have any of these things, like ZD's favorite scissors, cotton organdy, power shaper net, and magic mauve thread.
Plus, I hear we're including some refreshing swag this time.
That's right. I can't wait for everyone to see it. We're only shipping 100 of these boxes, and there are just 40 boxes left at the time of this recording. Go to sewhere.com/go/box to get yours today.
Sewing out loud.
Hey, y'all. Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com. Hey, y'all. Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
And we're back. All right, we're going to run out of time. We're not going to be able to talk about everything in this box. But let's talk about the next two amazing things, which are the Easy Check tape measure.
Yes.
And ZD's favorite scissors.
As far as I know, isn't the Easy Check sort of exclusive to us in this country? Does anyone else even sell
No,
it?
Sometimes you can find them.
Every once in a while?
Every once okay. in a while, someone will like
I
have it.
I know they're hard to find.
Someone will have it yeah. on Etsy or whatever.
Oh, okay.
But no,
it's not.
I had a hard time finding them.
Well, right, we have to get them from overseas.
I even thought, maybe I should ask someone else to carry them because... It's kind of a
well,
pain.
It's not something that you will go into your fabric store or
no,
you know, craft store and just find one. It's not easy to
find.
And
it is not bad to have two of them. Absolutely not. It's not bad to have five of them.
I have one in my bathroom.
Yeah. No. And they can, you know, if like a little person gets a hold of yours.
And like snaps
and
it off.
Snaps it. It is.
It's still a good measuring tape, but
yes.
it doesn't do its
like, job.
It holds your measurement.
That's right. So the Easy Check tape measure has a little snap on one end.
Little, yeah.
Okay, on the zero end. And then a little slidey thingy with a snappy on it. So that if you're taking a difficult measurement, like a measurement that's hard to take by yourself, you
or
can...
Or on yourself.
Yes. You can take this, snap it together, shore it up, pop it off and then say, oh, okay, Mike.
Right.
You know what measurement?
So it holds your place on your tape measure.
Yes,
so
there's a video. We have a video of me like promoting this tape
right.
measure and I show it like on my bicep.
Right.
But a measurement that is difficult, I think, to take by yourself sometimes is the overbust because they want you to take the measurement with your arms down. Okay, so your overbust or your upper bust or whatever you want to call it. You put that tape measure there, and if you're, like, scrunching up to hold it, I'm making a, I'm assuming the posture.
Here.
If you kind of put that up there, it's actually better if you can then release your arms down to your sides and get the correct, you know, measurement. So especially for those of you,
anytime I measure myself,
I use it. Yeah. I use it all the time. But any of you who have a larger bust, actually, it will like distort even more if you have more fatty tissue up there.
Another thing that it was nice for people to measure other people, like I remember we had a slew of trainers
buy them.
The male trainers bought them, so they did. You know, they weren't uncomfortable when to measure their female clients.
Yes,
they might measure their ankle or their bicep, but you know, they tell them to measure their bust line or something.
Yeah, so it's actually, I think it's kind of nice for maybe someone with like a dexterity or a flexibility issue, because you can snap it together large and then slide it
and tighten it up.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So that's kind of a nice thing. So the Easy Check tape measure is coming in there. And then ZD's favorite scissors.
Yes, my favorite scissors.
They are the Femore Comfort Grip large handled scissors with a smaller, very sharp blade.
These scissors actually were originally sort of like a mistake that shipped us. This was when I worked in the shop for someone else. It's just like, look at what they sent. And I'm like, wait a minute. And then I turned everybody on to them. We loved
them. And then we couldn't find those for a while. But then the internet's amazing, and it helped us find them. So those scissors are apparently very popular, and they're always the thing we're waiting on. So that's why.
I must have been the person that made them pop.
I don't know. Yeah. So when I like contact the manufacturer, I say, hey, we're going to do this box, you know, and how this works, if you don't know, it's on the website that you pre-order the box, you know, and then we ship them at a determined date as long as everything shows up, you know.
And we ship a limited amount of boxes.
That's right.
So right now we're going to ship 100. That's our plan.
Yeah.
And I believe there's maybe 40 left.
I think there's at this time. Right. So
there have been times where we've extended the amount and went over, but that was so much trouble when we had to do that.
I thought, what if we get like a bunch of interest? And I'm like, you know, because of how I have to plan all this stuff out, like the logistics.
It's very hard to plan. And then if you have to reorder, things can be delayed.
I want to be as error-free as possible.
At this point in time, it looks like there's about 40 boxes left.
Yes. And so this is a few weeks ago. And there's a U.S. box and an international box.
Right.
And
so this can be shipped internationally.
That's right. And I keep the weight under a certain amount so that shipping can just be included. Okay. So the U.S. box costs $110 and the international box costs $120.
Okay.
Dollars.
Well, that's actually very good.
I think it's a pretty good deal, too.
No, that's really good if anybody understands international shipping. Oh, my goodness.
Well, hopefully it doesn't change between now and then when we ship these boxes. You know, these are some pretty heavy-hitting items, too. Like, they are, they're nice.
Well, oh, yeah.
Like
yeah.
these scissors. Okay.
But I'm saying is shipping can just be terrible between countries.
It's nutso.
Yeah.
So, the Comfort Grip scissors have a large handle, and they are good for left-handed and right-handed people.
Right.
There are no more handed items in
Sew
Here boxes.
They are not handed. Right.
Did that once. Big mistake. Will not be doing. So these can be used by lefties and by righties. I've heard from lefties that they love them. And, you know, we use a rotary cutter most of the time to cut out garments. And occasionally we use shears for some things. But then these scissors are what we like to use to even trim threads or cut out small details.
To grade.
Yes, these are the scissors that we like to use. So ZD's favorite scissors are coming with the box. And then we have a big old spool of Magic Mauve thread coming at you.
So this is construction thread.
This is Mettler Metrazine construction thread. It's what ZD and I use every day when we sew seams on things, when we construct.
So my oldest daughter teaches sewing. She is a fax teacher.
Your youngest daughter teaches sewing,
too. Right, but it used to be called home ec. I mean, she teaches in the public school system. Yep. And when she when she switched over, she was actually teaching music, and she switched over to this, and she's like, okay, I have to have thread and all this. And when we told her to get this color, she's like, what? And I'm like, just get it, Hillary.
She doesn't like pink either.
No, she has an aversion to pink, except she loves flamingos. What's that about? Okay. So she doesn't think flamingos are pink. I guess she thinks they're orange or something. But it's so funny because now all she talks about is the magic mob. I'm like, oh, if I run out, I can't run out. Don't let me run out.
I will have been doing lives about the items in the Sew Here box up to this point in the self-sewn wardrobe. And I love talking about picking thread colors. And so when you see this thread, you think that is a dusty rose color. I believe that the official name for this color is Red Planet.
Is it really?
They didn't ask me.
It's not red. It is not red at all.
It's pink, and I don't want to call it perfect pink because that I believe that that conjures up images of like a sort of a Barbie hot pink or something. But I'm calling it a magic mauve.
Yeah, it's not a ballet pink. It's actually 1990s mauve.
Yeah, okay. That's and I used to say mauve, and now I say mauve. I was apparently wrong. And when you look at this
taupe,
school.
Taupe.
No, it's not taupe.
I'm saying what
taupe,
people say.
Mauve. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe I'll look it up and look at like the what the International Phonetic Alphabet says it should be. Okay, so when you look at this spool of thread, you see a pink spool of thread, though. Okay.
In your mind, you think, this is pink.
Is this pink? I see a mass of pink thread, but we don't put masses of construction thread down on our project. We put a single line of thread down on our projects. It's not a machine embroidery thread. It's a construction thread. So when you take that one line of thread off, all of a sudden this pink color ends up blending with like almost every beige
pink,
out
red,
there.
Beige, gray,
some
browns.
Yellows, some beiges, some browns. It is a color... That
I would
is an amazing neutral.
Yes, I would think. You know, the only thing I think you would not want to use it on is something very dark.
Yeah,
where you might pull the seam might show up in the seam.
There are people who really like match thread exactly a lot of the time.
That would not be
that's
us.
Not us. But this is a color to have in your arsenal of colors, and this is the big spool.
Yes.
This is a big spool of nice thread, and it retails for $10. It is 1,000 yards. Originally, I accidentally said it was 10,000 yards.
That would be a really big spool.
Really big spool of thread. So it is the large spool. We have put small spools of Metrazine in a box before. But this is the largest spool that you can get, and it is the construction thread that we enjoy for making our clothing. And
the other
so,
thing that it's great for.
You'll have it for a long time.
Right, and the other thing it's great for is, so say you do want to match your construction thread because you're hemming a pair of pants or something, but you don't have a lot of it or something. Mm-hmm. It's a good bobbin thread because it doesn't show up.
Well, and that's the thing about the big spool, too.
Right.
Because the small spools we've sent out before, you know, I sent them thinking.
Everybody loves it and they're sad when it goes away.
Yeah, you know, and it's like, okay, this is good for a sample or this is, you know, good to show people we like the quality of this thread. But you wind a bobbin off of the skinny spool and half your thread's gone.
Right.
You know, so I'm.
It's one project.
Right, exactly.
Right.
And one big old spool of this lasts you and me a long time.
Yeah.
And we
depending on what we're doing.
We sew quite a bit. And we do go through like black, white, and this more than other colors. But you'll be very glad to have this in your studio, this magic mauve thread.
You will consider it one of your best neutrals.
Okay, and then I keep forgetting to actually put this on the official list. I'm going to put it right now. You all are getting some double-eyed needles. Okay, there we are. So it was funny. I gauged interest for this box in the sewing group. And I was like, okay, we normally theme these things. You know, what do we want to do? And I thought, why don't we bring back some old classics? And then Fred, she says, hey, why don't you bring back some stuff that, like, you know, people might have missed out on, they want more of.
Our consultant, Fred.
Yeah, she's like, hey, why don't you put in those ZD's favorite scissors and some cotton organdy? I was like, stop reading my mind. Get out of my microwave, you know? And so anyway, she, one thing that I sort of considered but hadn't put on there officially were these double-eyed needles. But they are a wonderful thing. You can't have too many of them. You'll use them for your serging. You'll use them for your knitting. You'll use them, you know, for all sorts of stuff. I have some in my knitting kit,
actually. Yeah, I like to have it, like, with the hand sewing, with the machine sewing.
Well, and they are small, so you do occasionally hear people say things like, I lost this, or like Fred's kid put her ZD's favorite scissors in the toaster oven or something, you know? So anyway,
Fred's poor toaster oven.
Yes, and her poor scissors.
Been to war.
Yes. So anyway, this is something good to have. These are a needle with eyes on both ends that are flat-ish and sort
with
of
a
large. And we demo them as something that you can use to pull back serger tails. And that's how ZD and I use them mostly. And I've used them to weave in ends, like in place of a tapestry needle in my knitting kit. So those are coming in there. Okay. And then, I'm super excited about this. The square bobbin saver.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we have included a round bobbin saver before, but this is a brand new thing. And it is that, like, kind of silicone rubbery thingy bob that you can put your bobbins in, and it's square, which is a little more efficient, probably, than the ring.
Well, it will probably fit in your drawer better and hold more that way.
But what's the one thing it won't do,
The one thing it won't do is rim your margarita glass
That's right.
with salt. It will not. Well, I guess you could, but it would really be
it would
not
be.
As
it's
easy.
Not no, the not multifunctional
no,
item.
No, not at all.
But I'm so excited.
But
about
I
it.
Probably can think up another use for it in case you just decide
okay,
it's not.
You, like, dip some kind of like pretzel and chocolate.
Well, actually,
and then,
that's
like,
true.
Lay it down.
Put your sprinkles in it.
Yeah,
and
sprinkles
roll it,
and like some salt. You know. Some, okay, so we'll find another food use.
Well, you
for
know,
that.
It's a good. It would be like a good pencil holder or brush holder.
Yes,
kind of thing.
But I am excited. I love the round bobbin saver, but I think that the square one will be a good addition to what we've got going on. Another thing,
and I know you can't have enough bobbin keeper saver things because
yes.
you cannot have enough bobbins.
Yeah, if you get this bobbin saver and you're like, oh, I don't have any bobbins to put in it,
then go
order
some
bobbins.
Yes.
Okay? That's something that wouldn't come in the Sew Here box because it's unique to your machine. You need to get it from your dealer or know that you're ordering the correct size bobbins. Okay, everybody? Okay. The next thing we can talk about is the Teflon pressing sheet. Okay. I was looking at these sheets, and there are some different grades. There's, like, a professional grade they say will last, like, 10 years. And then there's, like, the medium grade they say will last, like, 5 years.
Uh-huh.
Like, how long have we had our Teflon pressing
sheet? Well, one of them is probably 30 years old.
I know. I'm, like, I'm pretty sure
I think
actually
the other one is
forever.
Only
forever.
The other one's probably only, like, 15. And we have two. I mean, we have more than one because we sandwich things. Now,
that's right.
When you do only have one, you can always fold it over, too.
So the Teflon pressing sheet is this, you know, Teflon sheet, and what it's meant to do is to protect your iron or your ironing surface from glues, from odd things, from fusibles.
From heat.
And,
from the heat of the iron.
It can,
I mean, all different things.
Can do all sorts of stuff. And so sometimes we make a sandwich, right?
Right.
We put one down and then put one, you know, put one down, put the thing we're pressing down, put one on top, put the iron. So this is something you really can't have too many of.
Well, and the other thing is with the cotton organdy, if you're clever, you will take a piece of it, maybe like 14 by 14 or so,
and make a pressing
serge
sheet.
The edges and make that your pressing sheet or another pressing cloth because it's great because you can see through it. Like Mallory said, when you press, it's 100% cotton, so it takes any amount of heat and it will keep you from, of course, burning anything.
Also,
accidentally,
cotton organdy allows steam to go through.
That's right.
Teflon
and
will
the
not.
Teflon will not. And so, like, put a border on it, whether it's with your serger or whatever, and make it, you know, like a wild color so that you don't use it. You'll keep it as your pressing sheet.
We just did that bridal series over in the Zigzag group, and I think maybe you used a piece of muslin for the pressing cloth, like in that video.
We have a lot of pressing cloths.
We have a lot of pressing cloths. But what pressing cloths do is they protect either the item or the iron or both, and different pressing cloths can be used for different things. That cotton organdy one, like ZD said, it's very good. It'll give you some protection. It'll hold up to heat, you know, but it's sheer.
Right. So if you're in a hotel and you need to press something, and, you know, they have those irons that are not real reliable, but that's what you have to use.
Right.
What are you going to use as your pressing sheet, Mallory?
What is a pillowcase?
Right. You take that pillowcase right off the bed, that nice clean pillowcase they have for you, and you use that as a pressing cloth between that iron that you cannot trust and your garment.
That's right. So we have I think we've given that tip before, but
we have, but I just wanted to reiterate it.
So somebody might say, Teflon pressing sheet. Well, ZD and Mallory, you just told me that you don't like to use iron-on interfacing. What the hell are you doing with a Teflon pressing sheet? Okay, well, we don't like to use iron-on interfacing in our garments. I don't like to iron to, like, rely on fusible glue for things that I want to last almost forever. But I do love me some fusibles for machine embroidery. Okay.
Applique. Well, and embroidery.
Yeah. Yes. So that, I'm just segueing.
You're segueing and I almost screwed it up.
Well, yeah. No. You did. That's fine.
Right.
Segueing into, we are going to be sending you a stabilizer sampler kit from Sulky. Okay. So this sampler kit, I'm not exactly sure what we're going to put in it. We could put everything in it or we could edit it down. I'm not sure. We'll find out. But there are going to be some fusible things in here. And I think a lot of garment sewing information out there will talk a lot about these permanent fusibles, but they won't talk a lot about, like, temporary, what I would call stabilizers versus interfacings, and how those can help you up your sewing game. Okay? Not everything has to be a permanent interfacing right. to help you out. You know, Julian said he uses pages from a magazine to stabilize his buttonholes. Uh-huh. And he says he learned that from us. Mm-hmm. Okay, so yeah, well,
I used to use adding machine tape, if anybody knows what an adding machine is.
Yes. So there, I think this is something that's overlooked in garment sewing land. That is, you know, these stabilizers are manufactured for embroidery, but that we need to help people understand how these can be used for garments. So check out this list here. We have cutaway stabilizers, tearaway stabilizers, washaway stabilizers, and heat-away stabilizers. So my idea is, in the wardrobe group, I'll go through these and just give some examples of how these could be used, both in embroidery and in garments.
Right.
Sewing.
You don't have to have a particularly fancy machine
no.
to utilize these, you know, to your advantage.
Yes. And having something there while you're creating, you know, your buttonhole or your pocket or your whatever that will go away later is actually really useful and
right.
something I want more garment sewers to know about. So I'm excited about the stabilizer kit. And then ZD's gonna be making button kits again.
Yeah.
Have you been nice to ZD lately? You better be.
I'm putting so the buttons together. I'm weighing the buttons.
She can make sure you get pretty vintage buttons. We bought out the stock of a vintage button, whatever. We have a lot of
dealer
vintage buttons from a store, and we use them ourselves. We sometimes put them as gifts in packages, and we are going to give you all a sampling. So these are a complete surprise. You will not know what you are getting. I don't know what you're getting yet, but there are some really gorgeous ones and some really unique ones. And I think that we are going to stop there.
I was going to say, don't tell them everything.
Right. One time I got, like, kind of in trouble for telling what was – people, like, I wanted it to be a
surprise.
They want to
be a surprise.
You know?
No. There's quite a few more items.
Some people are like, I will give you $100 and I want a surprise. Then some people are like, I don't want to give you $100 until I know what's in my box.
Well,
and, so
and
I'm
as far as I know, we have another contributor, too.
Yes.
One or two.
Okay. So there are some other – and there's some swag, and those are the things I'm not revealing yet.
Right.
Okay. So those are the things that will delight you. Like I said, I think these will be shipping, you know, sort of mid-October, getting to you hopefully by the end of October. And we're going to keep the rest of the things a little bit of a secret for now. But we hope that they are things that you will enjoy. So if you are interested in the Sew Here box, go to Sew Here. .com/go/box and you will be able to order one. You'll see all of the information about shipping or how to get free shipping. There's like a code you need to use. And if you forget it, don't worry. I'll refund you. it's fine. And you will see how to order it and what we've included there. And then hopefully over in the self-sewn wardrobe, I'll have been doing some cool live videos about the products too. So ZD, take it away.
So long and so happy.
Thanks for listening to Sewing Out Loud. For even more expert sewing advice, visit sewhere.com.
It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com. It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.